Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen technische Fachkräfte wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen ein attraktives Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
I'm Alvin Hall. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. This is Alvin Hall's Other America. We're entering Wakulla County, Florida, the place where I was born, where I grew up, and that I left in 1969 at age 16 for Yale Summer High School in New Haven, Connecticut. My life would never be the same.
You are going to see, number one, a lot of trees. You're going to feel a lot of love. And you're going to feel that you are welcome. When you cross that county line and you get in Wakulla County, oh, yeah, you're going to feel free.
This is Dolores Harvey Gaines, who is approaching 80. Like me, she grew up in a poor black rural community of self-sufficient families who owned their own land and who cared for each other.
You're going to say, ooh, yes, this is really the country.
In a pivotal election year in a divided country, I've come home to Wakulla County to see family and friends and to share their America. One you won't hear much about in the news. This is a place where America's history is close to the surface, where the past is very far from being the past. I believe that if you don't know about places like Wakulla County, you can't hope to understand what's happening in America.
Don't nobody have to tell you you are welcome. You're gonna say, I can breathe, and you can sit on the front porch and like we used to do, push out of feet, swing out of feet. Oh, you're going to feel free.
Looks like there may be storms today, rainstorms. Let up the window.
If you turn off the long, straight highways that tunnel through the oak and pine trees, you can go deeper into these woods, down one of the county's white sand back roads. When I was a child, they had no names, and only blacks or a few poor whites lived on them. We're driving to the part of the county where I grew up. All across Wakulla County, there were small communities where African Americans lived. And we're going to walk the road where all of the people I knew and loved lived. For decades, these places were my world. Places where very little had changed for 100 years. And here we are at New Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, where I was baptized at age 15. And let's go for a walk.
The villages The little small black communities were established around families, and you find that all over Wakulla County.
This is my cousin Tanya Williams. She is the keeper of our family history. Tanya still lives on her family's land near an old white breeze block Baptist church and relatives' houses dotted among the trees.
When I was born, this is where I came. My grandparents, they built another house right across the road, and my parents raised three children here. And then they built themselves a house, and then me and my ex-husband raised our two children here. So that's typically how it goes in these little communities. These homes, this property stays in the family. I believe in that.
So this is the house that was my babysitter's house. The dog is tied up out front. And back there is Grandma's house. The brick in that house were all brought up on a wagon from the Donaldsonville plantation. And this was the entry to Grandma's house.
The thing about the country, you can do what you want around your own house, in your house, and nobody will never know what you do. In the city, you can't look out the window but beside looking at somebody else's. In the country, you can walk when you get ready without anybody bothering you.
And up here on the left, there was this bubbling spring, and they had brim there, as we call them, the fish. And you could put in a worm and just catch them, and my mother would fry them, and they would be so sweet. Oh, I love that fish.
It was simple. Wild blackberries, scuppernongs, wild plums, wild figs, dates that you could get. Oh, they were so sweet. My grandfather always farmed collard greens, turnips, okra, peas, corn.
When we was growing up, we didn't realize how poor we were. To me, we were just rich. Rich with God's love and God's blessing.
You name it. Depending on the season, he had it. And it wasn't just in my community. A lot of older people were living, still doing that kind of stuff.
You can look up there. You can see the squirrel's nest right up there. Springtime, you start looking for the squirrels because all of us learn to hunt. And see, there's another one right there. It's funny how these things never leave you, really, because you did them for so many years. They sort of stay in you. This is a very different Black American culture compared to the one most people know, and it has endured. Only in the last decade has change really started to reach Wakulla County, and the wild grapes and blackberries of my childhood have fallen to herbicides and new housing developments. But most people here still find security and comfort in the land they own. For many years, these pieces of dirt fed and nourished them.
Remember when we had to go out in the woods and get limbs off the mulberry, not the mulberry tree.
Sassafras tree?
Yes, and sweep the yard. Oh, it was so pretty and white and clean. And oh, my Lord. And remember when we had to use the wash tub, rub your clothes, and you had to turn around and take a bath in the wash tub.
Those days are gone.
Those days are gone. And Lord have mercy. Don't wear your knuckles out on the back of your hand. Oh, and your back felt like it was breaking into, but you had to do it. You had to do it.
My mother was a domestic worker for a long time. That was one of her first jobs.
Jenny Jones is a community activist and a guardian of Wakulla's Black history.
She would go to this family once a week, and she would work all day long, and she would clean the house from front to back, and her salary was $5. $5. Why would you think that would be okay when you, in your position, you know what you're getting paid? But that was not the fault. So there was no compassion. We were just kind of like servitudes. You know, you do what you have to do because you got to support your family.
Strangely, although I haven't walked this road probably in 10, 15 years, the distances feel the same. But seeing all of these houses on the right-hand side where there was nothing, and to see that it's all white people. Until I was a teenager, I rarely met white people. Some of my family worked for them. Sometimes we used their shops. But my community, my school, my church were segregated. Life was segregated. Wakulla's black communities were strong and independent. Life for a child could be beautiful. I remember the fish fries and the baseball games on Emancipation Day and dancing around the maypole.
They started reading the history of Wakulla County a few years back, and I went to the first one. And I was so disappointed because nothing was in that history about us. We are a part of the fabric of Wakulla County. We've been here.
It was only as an adult that I've come to fully understand what it meant to be black in Wakulla County and what it means now.
For my grandparents to come through this era in this county with the prejudice and the racism that they had to face and the economic disparities, they did real good. What people would call wealth today, they didn't have that, but they had what they needed to do, what they needed to do for their children and grandchildren.
You go down the road, and black people live on the left and white people live on the right. White people are the newcomers. Black people have been here forever. But yet you see no trespassing signs everywhere on white property.
I remember one time I wanted some water. And I was little and I didn't know that you couldn't just walk up and get water.
This is one of my three childhood best friends, Francilla Hill. The four of us haven't seen each other in years, but it seems like we were together just yesterday.
So I went to run to go to get the water, and my grandmother was hollering and said, "Stop, stop." Then she explained to me that I was not allowed to drink out of that fountain.
Right.
And I'm going, you know, why? Because I'm small.
During segregation and the Jim Crow era, there was just this unspoken code of behavior that black people were had to be accustomed.
Angenita Rozier, founder of the Wakulla chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP.
They had to learn at a very early age, you can't go in the front door of this place. You can't use this restroom. You can't drink from a water fountain that says whites only. You have to drink from the other that says for colors.
It was just something that we went through. We knew
where to go.
Because of the fact that that's what they said. And we knew that they didn't like us, that we were considered less than human to them.
Annie Jean Hicks, another of my childhood best friends and my cousin.
Black people have had to go through a lot. And we are still going through a lot. Some of the white people, they have had it so easy, they can't relate to us. But then they want to tell us that we're what, taking it too serious. It's because of fear, reacting. It's because, you know, we know what we've gone through.
It was the norm for them not to cross those lines. And they knew that if they did, it meant they were going to suffer some consequences that ultimately could end in their death.
I was about 8 or 9 years old. That's when they had the Ku Klux Klan.
Herbert Donaldson, Sr.
And what they do on a Friday evening, they'll take the horses and cars and march them by the house. And, you know, and everything get quiet. When bad weather comes, you know, they will take them horses and them cars and they drive them right down 319. when you got a sign or something that you want to show people who you are, you ride in bad weather.
The word Wakulla means mysterious waters. There is a lot of dark water in this landscape and deep sinkholes back in the woods. As children, we would know not to swim in some of these, but we wouldn't know why. We wouldn't know what had been hidden in them. But there are still people alive in this county who do. As an adult, I gradually came to realize how many things people here know that they just don't talk about. Black people who had mysterious accidents. Black people who went away and were never seen again. And as a generation passes, the things they knew are being forgotten. My friend Sonia Clark Rocher came face to face with this silence leading a school trip to the National Memorial for Peace and Justice.
In 2019, we visited the lynching memorial in Montgomery, Alabama. And then when we got to Wakulla County in Florida, there were no names. And so I was like, wow, because, you know, things I'd heard about the history of Wakulla County. And so I came back and started talking. And I, oh, no, no, there were definitely some lynchings in Wakulla County. And sure enough, there was this lynching tree down near Panacea.
Me and my Uncle Willie, we used to be some bad little boys. And we used to go some everywhere. We seen a tin building. And that's where they used to have the Ku Klux Klan stuff, down there by the library in Minot. We went through the window.
You know, we just have to be truthful and open and honest about it. And someone knows. Someone that doesn't look like us in this community knows about that place.
I found they little sheets and things in there. We tried them on. But thank God we didn't get caught in it. As I got grown, I started working, and I found a guy that I know real well. And we built a relationship. And I was telling him about it because I remember him used to ride with him.
We just need to be open and honest about it. Allow people to know the truth.
When I was growing up, I had a lot of love in Wakulla County because I had that heart and stuff that I seen, I can overlook it. I didn't see no color in my heart. When I get lonely, I can steal away into my closet. I can look up to heaven and talk to God and see how God has blessed me to be raised in Wakulla County.
There it is. There's a sign. Wakulla Cemetery. Okay. Because I was like, oh, things are looking unfamiliar to me. But we was on the right track. Okay. Wakulla County has changed so much down some of these roads. You're like, is this the same place? Yeah, it's not the same place it was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago.
I think our kids need to know that there has been a struggle. That it hasn't always been that you could walk into the front door of a restaurant here.
This is what is known as Walker Cemetery. The Walker family deeded this cemetery to the descendants of their enslaved, the people that they had enslaved on their farm here. African Americans have been buried here since the middle of the 1800s. We have people out here that don't even have headstones. Yeah.
We want to get to a place that we can walk in absolute freedom. And so I think it's important that we know the history, but that we build upon it to make different history.
And I think here you find that when you know part of a story, the community is worried about the reaction if you find out all of the story. For example, my father's death.
There are a variety of families here. The triplets, the farmers, the Hawkins, the Scotts.
And we're the descendants of the farmers.
That's and the triplets.
And the
that's
triplets.
Right. That's right.
But this is way back in the woods. This must be like 2 miles back in the woods here.
Yeah, maybe 2 miles. Yeah, that's right.
And it's so quiet. He disappeared. Had been gone for 7, 10 days. I was in fifth grade. And the sheriff came to the door and said something to Miss Alice G. Hawkins. And she came over and said to me, "Who's your daddy?" I said, "Oh, Sammy Farmer." And she said, Well, they just found him. He's dead. Get back to work.
Oh, there she is, right here.
This is my grandmother. Minnie is her older sister. Okay, now we're getting into another generation, because this is my grandmother's aunt, Phronie. Remus, that's my grandmother's daddy right here.
I wanted to know about this story, because my mother didn't know, and hence we didn't know. Reverend Flavius Green was my father's best friend, married to Effie Green, my father's sister. I decided to ask Flavius, so what happened to Sammy? And Effie, who was there at the time, said, don't tell him any bad things about his daddy. He need to have good stories about his daddy. And then she got up to go in the kitchen. And I said, but Flavius, I have no stories about my daddy. So please tell me the story. And then over here was where Effie said that my father had been buried, but there was no tombstone.
Yes.
Because they didn't even embalm him after they found him.
They couldn't.
Couldn't embalm him. And he said, well, the police found the car that he drove. It was down this dirt road and had been pulled off the road. My father's wallet and glasses were on the hood. My father was inside the car with a bullet wound to the head. There were also a woman and two children in the car. I remember she talked about the fragrance they were spraying in order to keep the smell of the decay down. And then they buried him over here, and they never put a tombstone. And she thought he was half in the graveyard and half out of the graveyard.
Yep, that's exactly what she said.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's right over there, right along the line of that fence. Everybody thinks it was a white woman, and that my father had had two children with this white woman. And the prevailing belief is that they were all murdered.
There are times when I get this courage, trying to carry this heavy load.
These things exist, and still, no answers. No answers at all.
But I decided keep on talking. I'm so glad that Jesus knows.
The last time we were at this cemetery was how many years ago?
It was 2016.
With?
My grandma, Effie.
And my aunt.
And your aunt. Yep. And you know, the Bible tells us that life is just a vapor. She was there that day and now gone this day.
When it rains, it pours. Dark cloud rises. Storm wind blows. Just see Jesus, he will bring sunshine. I'm so glad that Jesus knows.
We come, you know, we spend our time here. Hopefully we're doing what we were called to do, and then we leave. Yeah. Just such a peaceful day.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI for people.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen technische Fachkräfte wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen ein attraktives Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
I'm Alvin Hall. Welcome back to Wakulla County, Florida, the place where I was born. In the first part of this podcast, you heard about its past. Now we're going to hear about its present. What has changed since I left at 16? And what parts of its history have stayed exactly the same?
When I moved back here, I hate to say, I wanted to fall on the ground and kiss the dirt. I really missed Wakulla County with all its negativeness, but it still was home. It was home. It was home.
There is a common belief that segregation in America effectively ended with the passing of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But white supremacy and segregation were among the founding institutions of the United States. And in places like Wakulla, real change didn't come in a decade, or two, or even three.
What I like about Wakulla County is I like the country. And the people really don't bother me. Where I live at, there's a pond that's back in the woods. And on the other side of the pond, a white family lived there. My son was going over there swimming in the pond, and he was talking about shooting him. My son showed him the deeds, showing that we still was on our land. So we just deal with that part.
My friends and I still remember the anxiety and shock in 1968 when we were plucked from our safe all-black schools and finally sent to an integrated high school. We were reminded that we were different and that to some, we were less.
All of the white buildings with the white roofs, that was all the original school. And there used to be a big rebel flag, a Confederate flag, on the flagpole with the American flag. And we had to walk past that every single day when we came to school. And now, it's just an American flag. So I guess that's progress.
For my cousin Tanya, the same culture was still largely in place 10 years later. Her graduation ring, like mine, was engraved with a profile of a Confederate soldier.
My high school, Wakulla High, was known as the Rebels. And so that's a mindset. It's an unspoken knowing and understanding that you're invisible. I remember in high school, the paragraph in the history book was this big on black history.
That's about 4 inches by five
inches.
That's
right. That's all they wanted us to have. Just a blurb about slaves and then cut it off.
In 2003, I took a job in Wakulla teaching.
Sonia Clark Rozier has been a powerful voice in trying to reform the teaching of black history in the county.
I remember tags when I first moved here. There was Wilkilia County, car tags and truck tags. And I still had kids that used the N-word. I finished the school year and I left. And when I was asked to return to Wakulla County, the first thing I asked him when he interviewed me was, have things changed? Because if they haven't, I can't come back and teach in that county. And he said, I want you to come here and help me continue to change them. And that was how I ended up back.
Walking back into Wakulla High School brings up mixed emotions. It gave me an education. But I still remember how unnerving it was to enter these doors and walk the corridors on my first day. I wanted to talk to Michelle Falk, the current principal of the school, to see how things have changed.
in my mind, I was thinking all night a little bit about diversity for me. And I was like, you know, I can't speak for other people. My family, they were the Barwicks. So my mother picked crabs. I grew up in a crab house, you know, so I sat on a stool and I backed crabs for the pickers. And a lot of the black women from Buckhorn Sop Shoppy area worked with my family. You know, they worked for them, but I say with them because I considered them very much my equal.
I believe it was that second year I was here. It was February. It was Black History Month. I had all these pictures up. These kids came into my classroom and they were like, who is that and what is that? And I had them grouped like, you know, artists, medicine, engineers, architects, whatever it was. And you could just tell they had never been exposed to that. Even white kids that still come up to me. Several of them shared with me when I was at the middle school that first year that I was the first black teacher they had ever had. I know I've heard some stories about different things that people in charge of the school systems had to say during that time about positions that African Americans would be allowed to hold during that time. I think the black community didn't press enough, and I think that it almost came across like stay in your lane, stay in your place. You can't educate our children because of the color of your skin. But I think when you bring people in like myself who just love, I just love them.
It's changing because you got a lot of transplants coming in, and it's not a real advantage for them to play that game. And the second thing is you have a lot of mixed race children here now. That has changed the whole landscape of here.
People are moving in from all over. You know, so if I'm walking through guidance and I see a family sitting in there and they're enrolling, I always want to ask them, why did you move to Wakulla? Wakulla has a reputation of a great community, family oriented, good school system. And we also see that when we're interviewing teachers.
Next 10, 20 years, I believe there's going to be a big change here in this county. And it's going to be on the backs of those children.
For a lot of them, they don't know. And then you have some that maybe don't care because they're not from here, you know. And then with the level of instruction that's demanded by the state for us, it's not something you just can find time to build in to your curriculum either, because the teacher signs something that says, these are your standards and you can't deviate from them. To learn about the culture and the history of your community, you're relying on your community to be able to do that.
In its 20-year existence, the Historical Society here had never had a black board member. I was their first black board member.
Herb Donaldson Jr. came home from New York in 2010 and now runs Palaver Tree Community Theater in Wakulla County. Like me, his time away gave him a new perspective on things that once went unnoticed.
And it was nothing to disparage the Historical Society, but when I walk into a building for their open house and I invite people to that open house and I was like, oh yes, this is a Historical Society, you know, you should learn more about it. And then I walk into a room and there's a huge Confederate flag on the wall. I'm just kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was there. You know what I mean? I didn't know that was there. But I didn't know when I was at Wakulla High School, and I'd go right out there in front of the building. The landscape of the area was an X, and the hedges were actually stars on the Confederate flag. I didn't know that. It's that collision of those things that you didn't know about home, where your heart is. You know what I mean?
Head up the river first, yes, sir.
Of all my friends in Wakulla County, perhaps the most unlikely is Kevin Mullins, an entrepreneur, motivational speaker, writer, preacher, and a self-described redneck with a pickup truck and an AK-47. Early one morning, his nephew Seth took us up Wakulla River.
You get out here on this river, and obviously it's peaceful, but spiritually, it just does something internally to you, man. It almost puts you in a tranquil sort of state of mind. You just sort of feel lost in years gone by.
Okay. I think we can make it around the left side. You just got to be slow. So this is what we call a snake bird. See this right here?
It is a master fisherman.
Right there.
I lost him.
Snake birds.
we make this joke about, yeah, I'm from Wakulla. I drink from the river here. I drink from the well. I got it all in my system. You know what I mean? But those are the things that you realize people don't want to talk about. And when you address them, you begin to realize that just like you, they don't know how.
Sometimes I think the mud, the water, it gets in your bones. And I don't know, Wakulla, I think, speaks to me in a way that most places don't.
Nobody wants to have a finger pointed at them and said, you're the bad guy. You know what I mean? And nobody wants to be too self-righteous about their place. But this is America, and we've all been in bed together, sleeping together for so long. We popped out quite a number of children that got issues.
Here in Wakulla County, anybody from any walk of life to some degree, I think, is accepted. Wakulla just demands one thing in response, and that's to be a good human being, to work hard at something. And I think the combination of all those things, I think, sort of epitomize the American dream, which is to own a piece of land, to have the ability to go hunting or fishing or to build something with your hands.
People are very close. No matter how far back it happened, they don't want you to tell it. They don't want to discuss it. There are people who are white, you understand, with black ancestry that they want nobody to know about. So when groups like the Historical Society say, oh, tell us about your family history, they go real quiet. They'll talk about everything else, but they'll shut their mouth on that.
So these two boats here, they're mullet fishing. Anybody that is mullet fishing with a rod and reel, this is the spot they're always hanging out. And worth noting, generally, it's almost 100% people of color.
This takes me back when I would sit out here with my grandmother, and she would just be talking and telling us old stories and just waiting for them to bite.
Y'all getting the mullet?
That's it.
Not yet.
That's it.
Man, y'all got to pray a little harder.
Maybe so.
Wakulla County, does it grab you at the head level? It grabs you at the heart level. It wrestles you to the ground.
And I think we're both connected at the head. We're connected in our feelings and intuitions about Wakulla County. And if we do a genetics test, we might discover we're connected in another way.
We have always joked for the longest, like, I think we're all just sort of 6 degrees of separation anyway. And one day I was just Googling, I was like, who are the famous people from Wakulla? And I'm looking, and there's an Alvin Hall. And I immediately freak out because my mother's maiden name is Hall. You know, so I'm going, this Alvin Hall has to be kin to me. And then I quickly realize Alvin Hall is a, you know, not a white man. And I'm like, maybe.
You never can tell.
You never can tell. And I think that the fact that we're here, both guys from Wakulla County, from different eras, you've obviously got stories rooted in joy and also probably rooted in anger and even fear based on the time that you lived here as a black man. And yet the progress of America trickles down even to little old Wakulla County.
We're one great big happy family here in Wakulla County. Yes, it is a dysfunctional family, but we've been together for so long that we do know some things about one another. And even when injustice occurs, shouldn't we all have a hand in doing something about it? But some people won't because they have their people in their church to think of, those family members that are older who are set in certain ways. My teachers, if I see them now as adults and I say, who did you vote for? And they say Trump, that's tricky for me. Those are the people we get along with. You understand? Those are the people that we see ourselves around each day.
Anjanita Rozier founded the county's first NAACP chapter to support black people facing discrimination. The chapter was only founded in 2014 and in the face of deeply ingrained resistance.
It was a Sunday morning, 2014, just before Christmas. I got a phone call bright and early telling me, and they said, you need to get here and get here soon. They said the KKK has spray painted not just the church where we were meeting, holding our NAACP meetings, but they spray painted another black church. When I got there, there were people gathered around. But the thing that stuck out the most for me was there was a white lady and her children that were there. And this lady was just crying her eyes out. The lady was like, How could anybody do this? It's Christmas time, and who in their right mind could do something like this? Everybody's supposed to be happy. And I looked, and all of a sudden, the parking lot of that church just filled with cars, and white people were coming from every direction. People just scattered around me and other members, and they just started hugging us and telling us how sorry they were. And the church still had church that day and had worship.
For Anjanita, this marked a turning point, a moment when white people publicly rejected the racist violence that had once been acceptable or intimidating enough to keep many of them silent.
There is still that stigma that this is not for you.
Jenny Jones.
We don't know our places as much as we knew them before, but it's still not 100% where we need to be. I know the Bible said the bottom rail is going to come to the top. We know that. So it's a process.
But a very slow one. Wakulla's black community are a minority, and black political candidates need white votes. Allegations of shady land deals and suspicions of inequitable treatment came up repeatedly in our conversations. Wakulla has had only one black county commissioner in modern times and has never had a black sheriff. It has only had two black women elected to any position.
You don't have a whole lot of pull for us being in charge of anything. And I don't want to get into this part right here, but you know, all these years we have not had a black person on the school board. All of these years we have not had a black superintendent. We just recently got a black principal. We are far behind. And you're just not going to step over the line in some things. I think about when we did Black Lives Matter. It was held at the park down there. And you know, we had some people that closed their businesses because we were there. Closed their businesses to tell us that they were afraid that we were going to do. We were trying to make send a message. But they were so afraid that we were going to break out, I guess, and do something else. So they closed businesses. It's a power struggle. That's what I feel. You know, fear. Fear make you do a lot of things.
Change is inevitable. But as in the rest of America, what form that change will take is much less clear. Annie Jean Hicks.
I'm not lying about the stuff. We're not lying about the stuff that we went through. But if you haven't experienced it, you can't tell me that it does not exist. I have been through it. I know it because I felt it and I saw it. So, I mean, don't tell me racism doesn't exist. I mean, you can see it, you can hear it, and then people are saying, oh, it didn't happen, like January 6th. They say that was not an insurrection, that it was a peaceful tour. I said, well, did they not see? We saw it with our eyes. We heard it with our ears. And you tell me I didn't see it? I didn't hear it?
January 6th, 2021. Saw the storming of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. by some supporters of Donald Trump. This event resonated in Wakulla County. Francella Hill.
During that time, I was driving down the road and I had to pull beside the road. Now, we're talking about here in Wakulla County. Mm-hmm. When I pulled beside the road, this truck came with his rebel flag. Mm-hmm. He had a glasses and that helmet thing. And he was in green. And and he paused and he stopped right where I was. And he looked very, very mean. I looked eyeball to eyeball. And then I said, and then I stared back mean. And he pulled on off.
For me and many black people I know, watching the Capitol riots felt familiar. It seemed like an echo of the reaction to integration we'd seen in person and on television in many parts of America. In Wakulla County, miniature Confederate flags, known here as rebel flags, still flutter on dozens of graves. The ideology they represent is still living.
But all this is enough to make you angry and upset, sort of overwhelmed with the way that things are going in the world.
I believe in America. I believe in the world. And I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I know that God has us in his control, mm-hmm. no matter what.
We get upset about mayhem. I heard the deacon say this morning, you know, he ain't on nobody's side. Trump's side, Biden's side, nobody's side.
We're not hard people to get along with. We just need to be treated fairly and treated right.
Sometimes you call all of this action that we got going on tomfoolery. It don't even make no sense. And sometimes we get ourselves all worked up and tied up and tangled up. We don't even know why we're worked up and tangled up.
The bigger picture is they can kind of look back in their history and say, we were always in charge. And some things are not going to change. But yes, they are. They are going to change. We're not going to be in the position we're in all the time. We are not comfortable in that position. We are brilliant people. We are wonderfully made. We are.
One of the things when I first got back here that I noticed, my nephew played basketball. I went to the basketball game and I was like, my goodness, there sure are a lot of beige children on that basketball court. Something's happening behind them closed doors, baby. Even one of my own nephews who is biracial as well, it was difficult getting to know his family, you know, and especially when he would come back and say how the grandfather on the white side of the family, come here, my little tar baby, and say it with love. And say it with love. And the kid doesn't recognize it. All he sees is grandpa.
Where we're going now as a nation and as a world, we've got to move more toward being a diverse society. And I think that the growth here is moving us toward that. Kids I taught, they have no concept of separate water fountains, separate bathrooms. I think it's important that we really still try to maintain that sense of community, but not exclude others. I don't want to say that we're there yet, but I think we're making progress toward getting there.
You're getting an infiltration of folk with different experiences, exposure, diversity of thought, everything. But it's great.
Like many from Wakulla, Randy Nelson left to build a life, but came back to his family's land to build a home.
But one of the things that I enjoyed about Wakulla was that it was so small, close-knit. And I enjoyed the comfort of being around folk that I like and that like me.
I think of all the blood, sweat, the tears that my ancestors put into making Wakulla County what it is today.
The peace of just walking somewhere, maybe one or two, and the trees, it was always like I could just pitch a tent and live forever and not do anything else, just live. It's that sense of peace here. Now, you got a lot of subdivisions, but neighbors don't really know each other. I see Wakulla continuing to grow. You're going to get diversity of thought, but you're going to lose the closeness to the thing that brought me back home.
You know, my ultimate goal in life is to appreciate the things that my ancestors left here for us to enjoy.
And you'll be happy if you breathe your last breath here in Sabchape.
I will be.
Coming back home is something I'm asked about every time I cross the county line. My relatives and friends want their love of Wakulla County to be in me. And when I drive these long, straight roads, I still remember knowing in my soul from age 9 that my future was not in Wakulla County.
I've interviewed so many people, and they talk about what keeps them in Wakulla County. What is it about this atmosphere that keeps bringing people back?
I don't know, because I'm trying to leave. Because look, I've been here all my life. I just want to go somewhere different. I know Wakulla County. I can always come back home. Just like you can always come back home if you want to. You know, you got roots here.
But you'll hold on to your family's land.
Oh, absolutely. I have a picture of me and Grandma Effie. I was about 2 years old, standing right in this living room on Easter morning. And that is what propels me to keep this and hold this up. You can't tear this house down. You can't let it go down, because this is where you got your start.
You know, the Lord knows. He knows everything about you.
Everything I knew in Wakulla County, the sense of community, the religion, the taste of the food, the smell of the dirt and the water, have remained inside me.
I don't trust nobody but him, and I know he will take care of me, and he's going to heal my body. I'm just crazy enough to believe that, because I know what he will do.
But I also see here the conflicted part of America, the part that hangs onto a past, the part where people want people to remain in their place, whatever that means.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I push really hard for change. Will it ever come? Of course. We'll get there.
Alvin Hall's Other America was presented by me, Alvin Hall, and produced by Michael Umney. It was a Just Radio production.
I don't ever give up. I don't take no for an answer. There's no such thing as defeat.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen technische Fachkräfte wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen ein attraktives Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.